to Mr. Jerry Hoffman today. And this, as much as Kyle's message was kind of the cringer a little bit, this was one, I guess, in my opinion, that I was excited about. And I think a lot of guys could have handled this message well, but I think Jerry's going to do a great job. And not to put too much pressure on you, Jerry, but I think Jerry is a good example of a guy that's probably lived both sides of this. And he probably, as a young man, maybe struggled with this some. And as a more mature Christian, probably respects that a little bit more from that side. And I am looking forward to what Jerry brings to us. And Phil, he coined a good phrase this morning. And I'm gonna borrow and add a little bit and tweak it a little bit, and maybe I'll coin a phrase, I don't know. But one thing I just wanted to, again, I don't want to preach Jerry's message for him, but truth from a young man is still truth, right? And so with that, let's bring on up Mr. Hoffman and get us going here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I sure do look forward to Badlands Family Camp. Starting about 1 week from now, I'm excited about next year already. This is just an awesome place to be. And what makes it awesome is not necessarily the wonderful surroundings, but it's the wonderful people. It's the awesome people. Is there anybody quite like the Hindbaugh family? Steve and Beth are just amazing. What makes them amazing is that they love the church. Kirk, Deborah-Lena, you're amazing. You're young. You got things to learn. I can help you a lot. No, I'm teasing. Kyle, you just told us how smart Jane is. We do know that opposites attract, right? And that's where is Kyle? Oh, he's back there. Yeah. It's not true at all. That was one of the best messages I've heard ever, honestly. And Mr. Sutton set the high bar pretty high this morning with what he had to say. And I just really, really appreciate Phil and Paula, and I plan to slash their tires before they leave Bozeman, because I don't want them to leave. I was so thankful for them. They came 1 month after we moved up to Bozeman area, and their impact was incredible. To watch them raise their children to all follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ tells you it can be done. There's no excuses. We're watching it happen. Be imitators of them as they imitate Christ. My passage is 1 Timothy 4:12. I have no idea why Kirk gave this to me. I got a little bit of a hint when Kyle said he's doing the younger side, I'm doing the older side. I didn't think that through when I was preparing my message, so I'm going to do the younger side too, because I assume that Kirk gave me this because I'm youthful. Yeah, that didn't give me any laughs either, because you all know I'm not stupid. I can figure out I'm not. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 4:12 is the assigned passage. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. So apparently the exampling is Timothy supposed to be an example. Don't let anybody look down on you when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. Here's some older folks who have an impact on Timothy. Take pains with these things, be absorbed in them, so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere. Oh, that word came back up. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. I want to make sure of my salvation. I want to spend an eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to spend an eternity in heaven with you, and I want to see if I can't help all of us get there. That's my job. I'm a Christian. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd bless us this morning as we have looked into your word and to really think about these things that have been shared. Very, very practical, beneficial words that if we'll listen, came straight from the Lord Jesus Christ through the hearts and mouths of these men. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless us now as we continue to do the best that we can to serve you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am an imitator of Christ." People will imitate you either way. Anytime you begin to age, there's younger people watching you. I have grandchildren. The youngest is David. He's 11. My oldest got married a week ago. He's 22. 20 years ago when he was first born, and holding 22 years ago, I was holding him in my arms. He wasn't even a day old. I said, I don't have very much time to teach this person who I am, how important my God is to me, and what it should be important to him. My time's up. It's done. He's married. He's got things he's going to be busy doing. I'll have some influence, but it's greatly diminished. His time for me is now spent on others. Have I done my job as a grandfather? Have I led him? Have I taught him? Have I shown him? Have I demonstrated the character of Christ? And to the degree that I have, it'll reflect in him and his children. And I want them to be in heaven. I asked Mr. Bill, to keep an eye on my time, so he's going to motion to me. So I'm not looking at this side of the audience at all this morning. I wanted to deal with this passage from two points of view. One point of view would be that those who might look down, just as the phraseology is, by the way, that's maybe even better translated, despise. You'll see that the modern literal translation has used that. Some of the older translation, King James, used despise. And the second one is, it has to do with Timothy's character. So who might look down on you? Who might look down on the younger person who's doing the work? For me, the message, I think, was wondering is, did Kirk give this to me because I'm an old, cranky, judgmental, outspoken, mean-spirited, despiser of youthful folks? Kirk, I hope not. You had a bunch of names in a hat and you pulled it out and it was me, right? No, I don't know what reasons. I certainly pray that I'm not that type of person. But there's people like that in the church. There's people like that who find their way in the morning and crawl their way out as soon as the thing's over. I've seen it many times in my youth. Or am I so youthful that he couldn't think of anybody else who could possibly pull it off being youthful? But I don't think that's it either. I can tell you it's not true, because boy, there's more body parts that hurt every day. When you point like this and your finger goes that direction, it's not the same anymore. When this one's pointing that way and that one's pointing this way, my hand's confused. I'm getting older. I can see this, though. I'm pretty proud of myself. Was I asked because I could offer some practical experience? And I think that's true. And I wanted to offer it from both perspectives, the old and the young. I know we got a lot from about the youth, but I'm going to come to that in a minute. In our passage, it says, don't look down on your youthfulness. In the Hebrew times, this would probably have been about 30. I think that Timothy's very close to the age of 30 when this is being written to him. That was a general experience. They were considered youth from 30 to 35 years old, somewhere in that range. The priest did not assumed their ministry until they were 30 years of age at that time in the Jewish religion, and Jesus himself began his ministry at the age of 30. So I think we're pretty close to that age. Now, I think today's society, we think of youthful somewhere around 21 to 25, maybe a little older. We don't think of 30-year-olds as being quite so youthful. So think of it, if you feel young, this applies to you as being youthful. I know Josiah's youthful compared to some. Let's see. Compared to a couple, Phil is youthful. Compared to Terry, I'm almost youthful. He told me this morning he's 84. I can't believe it. I find that hard to believe. He doesn't look 84. He's a young 84 if there ever was one. The Greek word there for youth or youthful or youthfulness is only used 5 times in the New Testament. Used in Mark and Luke about the rich young ruler. Jesus told him to sell all he possesses and give to the poor. It's used in Acts chapter 26:14. Apostle Paul before Agrippa says, so then all the Jews know about my life, the manner of my life from my youth up. That's the uses there. So Paul's already saying he's not that youthful person. And then in our passage here in 1 Timothy 4, it's also used in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So those are the 5 places. And our camp theme was be imitators of me. Doesn't say be imitators of me if you're young. Doesn't say be imitators of me if you're old. It says be imitators of me. Jesus didn't live to get to be my age on this earth. But I can imitate him. He had the greatest experience anyone ever had at living life. No one ever lived life like Jesus did. But we get to. We're asked to. It's our responsibility to do so. Paul's admonishment to Timothy comes from an older man. Paul's probably 60 or so at years of age when he wrote this. So these words come to him. Don't let anybody look down on you. But there were older people in his life, right? We named in the books. The presbytery, the elders. There's Paul. There's his mother and his grandmother, who are spoken of highly respectfully, Lois and Eunice. Older people. So if this is the group that Paul's talking about in this passage, it can't be Paul who's looking down. I don't think it's mom or grandma who's looking down his youthfulness. I don't believe it's the elders looking down on his usefulness. After all, they laid their hands on him. They had their option to say this man is or isn't qualified. It's gone by. Now's the time to help and support. It's not the time to look down on him. Those people had also seen the behavior of Timothy. Timothy spent some 16 years following, walking with the Apostle Paul before Paul asked him to take on this responsibility. Do you think he learned anything walking with Paul? I think he did. So I think that Paul knew that Timothy knew what to do. Somebody is looking down on him, though, and I don't believe it was them. So as we read and consider the epistles to Timothy, it seems clear that the ones from whom Timothy might receive criticism, particularly because of his youthfulness, Paul, the elders, his family, none of these would despise his youthfulness. None of them would be the guilty ones. Publicly, they couldn't possibly do that because then it's a criticism of them themselves. Paul, why'd you put him here? Elders, why did you lay hands on him? Lois and Eunice, why didn't you do a better job of raising this young man? What they could do, though, is every one of those people in that group could speak to Timothy in a critical fashion, if necessary, to help him along. But why? What is the identifying characteristic of these people who would not despise his youthfulness but might try to help him? The big and foremost would be that they love him. You want to have the right to say something to a younger person, you demonstrate how much you love them. If you demonstrate how much you love them, then the words that you have to share, brought from a loving perspective, are going to have great power and response because they come from the right source, from love. So when Steve says something to Kyle, he respects it because he knows his father loves him. If you don't love them, if the person you want to say something to, and you're an older person, and you don't love them, for some reason you don't respect them, for some reason you can't hold them in any regard whatsoever, then you're going to despise them. You better keep your mouth shut. You have no right to speak to them in that fashion. You haven't earned it. Just because you're older doesn't qualify you to speak down to someone. Now, am I going to treat my young grandsons when sometimes I have to stop them and discipline and talk to them about something maybe they shouldn't do, like say, shut up? That actually happened in the camper last night. Told them they can't talk that way. The only qualification that justifies us talking to the ones who are doing the work is that you love them unconditionally. And that kind of love will never despise anyone. Now, there is another group, though, and the scripture just says, do not let no one look down on your youthfulness. So there are other people who do look down on those who are youthful and are serving, who are not older. The worst group in the world for looking down on someone is the peer group. I don't know why that is, but peers think they have the right to say anything that's their same age. Isn't an age factor? It's no respect factor. It seems from the language that this is really talking to the older folks, but he did say very carefully, let no one look down on your youthfulness. There are always folks who are quick to criticize and would point out, especially the peers, youthfulness. These people live life from a selfish perspective, that their joy only seems to come from flapping their lips, and the Bible calls them a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, because they have not love. It was the hardest group for me to deal with. It was the hardest work for me, people to deal with in my workplace. It was the peers who were the first one to criticize. You're trying to do better job, and who tells you don't do that better job? But your co-workers. You'll make us look bad. Which group do you think it was the hardest ones for me to supervise? I was a vice president for Safeway Stores. I had direct reports of about 45 people. Had to write out evaluations the way Safeway did it once a year. Had to get turned in. Had to do with the raises they were going to receive. That's hard. To evaluate a peer, it's a real challenge. But I was asked to do that. That was my job. How do you think that went over, though, to the ones that I had to be a little bit more harsh, a little more direct, or to have to tell them that, you know, because you're getting this rating, your raise will be this much? It's hard. It's hard with a peer group. As I grew older, you know, there was not that many times I would ever supervise a peer of my age as I got closer to retirement. but it was hard. It's a challenge. Peers have no right to not accept the truth presented to them by somebody who is their peer. So anybody in this audience who's, Phil, you're 54. Why you don't look a day over 53? 54. Anybody in that range, Phil has every right to speak to you directly and to tell you something. And you should listen and not just fluff it off because he's a peer. But when you take that down to 30, it gets a little harder. It's hard for a peer to criticize a peer in love. It's hard to be taken to be criticized by a peer, even in love. Because the tendency is to think they're looking down on my youthfulness. Look at 1 Timothy 1. Verse 5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. I have run into people like that. It's hard to put up with it. It's hard to hear it and know that they don't know what they're talking about. They're just busy talking. But we know that the law is is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing that the fact that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious. If they're busy talking about the law, they are probably coming from a position of being rebellious, ungodly. It's for the sinners. It's for the unholy and the profane, and for those who kill their fathers and their mothers, for murderers and immoral men. If we keep going, you'll find out that such people are basically turned over to Satan. If you're in that peer group who's busy criticizing, saying this is the legal side of the New Testament, the legalistic position, you're likely right on the way to hell. You're following Satan. That's not a good spot. Verse 18 of the same passage. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, so that they will be taught not to blaspheme. Well, what had they done? They had done the very things that we read about over in chapter 1 and verse 5. Our goal is this, but some men have turned aside. Timothy, don't let them bother you. Do not let them look down on you. I've turned them over to Satan. We don't talk about him enough. Satan. Satan wants you to fail. Satan's great desire to see you go to hell. He's relentless. Satan's mentioned Satan twice in this book, and the devil's mentioned. Somehow or another, being an imitator of Paul, as he is an imitator of Jesus Christ, includes mentioning to people that they are on the direct path to hell. And why, in this case? Because they're busy criticizing the ones doing the work. Where's Kyle now? That's true. I saw him over here stirring our dinner to make sure we were going to be taken care of, and I appreciate that very, very much. Satan is talked about by the Apostle Paul. I don't hear that conversation very often in the church. We got to build them up, build them up, build them up. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But we also have to warn them, there is a being who hates them and wants to drag them to hell and is doing everything he can to do it. And if you give those whose lips are flapping, they're a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, if you give them a voice for their criticism, they will drag themselves down and try to drag you with them. They have no hope of trying to help Timothy be successful. They don't even understand the law they're preaching at him. But there's people like that in the church. And amongst those, the worst are probably peers. The one who's older has already been shown. You see him, you know what kind of a person he is. And also part of that peer group that might look down on his youthfulness. We've been picking on the men long enough. It would be the women, like these who are mentioned in chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. I think there's probably been more churches torn apart by women than by the men. Just personal experience, or observation, if you would, across this country. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 11 through 15. But refuse to put younger widows on the list, for when they feel sensual desires and disregard of Christ, they want to get married, thus incurring condemnation because they have set aside their previous pledge. At the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house, and not merely idle, but also gossips and busybody, talking about things not proper to mention. Therefore, I want younger widows to get married, bear children, keep house, and give the enemy no occasion for reproach, for some have already turned aside to follow Satan. Well, who was that? That was the younger people, younger widows. They're not busy raising the family, so they're busy talking about probably the leadership. Most likely busy gossiping and talking about other people and all their failures. And anybody who finds themselves on that path should recognize that what they're really doing is following Satan. I don't mean this to be a mean-spirited message at all, but folks, there's no reason for anybody to look down on his youthfulness, whether you're his peer, even a little younger, or much older. Anytime you're doing that, the scripture's pretty clear, you are following Satan. Why would we try to destroy the church? When Jesus gave the parables of the seeds, did you catch in there? It's that the word of what? What was the word of? It was the word of the kingdom. Read it. Go back and check. Matthew chapter 13. Word of the kingdom. And what's the kingdom? We all know it's the church. They couldn't understand the church. There's people who get into the church, who are immersed, who we've taught, but they didn't get the picture of who the church really is. The church is us, the congregation of the faithful who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ. We are the pillar and the support of the truth. Nobody else has the truth. Why would you tear it down? Why would anyone ever choose to tear down the church? Who's going to support the church? Who's going to support the truth when the church is devastated? I know there's congregations who are going through tough times, and I understand that. But do not follow this path. If you're busy every night, what are you doing? You got your mind set on the things above? Or your mind set on the things you're going to say next? Can't have it both places. How many of you know of people no longer in the congregation because some busybody, male or female, had bad things to say about them that weren't right? How many of you know of people who are having troubles who are no longer in the congregation because people were busy saying things when they were trying to get things right. It's a terrible place to be. According to the scripture, according to what the Apostle Paul had to say in his letter to Timothy, in this epistle, the men were following Satan. He turned them over to him. The women were following Satan. Kyle, you're absolutely right. You don't run down the leadership. They're trying to help you. They're trying to build you up. And I don't care if they make some mistakes. Josiah's going to be a speaker here. How old are you? How old? 23. That's terrible. He's less than a third my age. Josiah, you're going to make some mistakes. I hate to tell you. But if you ever hear me tearing you down, you rip me a new one, okay? Because I want you to save my soul. He's entitled to make his mistakes. Anybody ever learn best from a mistake? I'm never going to do that again, right? Why? Sometimes I forget when I did something right, and I do it wrong the next time. But when I've done something wrong, I never want to do it that way again. Sometimes you've got to let the young people make their mistakes. I don't give a switchblade to an 11-year-old. It's probably not smart. Now, why do you think I wouldn't do that? It's because once when I had one, I was flicking it around, and I wasn't even 11, and I managed to cut myself. We protect the young, but if he does manage to get a knife in his hand and cuts himself, he's going to have learned something. We try to protect him. Please, don't let yourself be a follower of Satan. Please, do not let yourself be turned over by the Apostle Paul to Satan. He's still doing it. We don't get it written down anymore. It's still going on. Because if he's an imitator of Jesus, and we're supposed to be an imitator of Jesus, if that's what's necessary, then we deal with it. We say it. To somebody who's tearing the church apart, you got to tell them. Any congregations who've been through it? Anybody in any of these congregations? Let's see. Anybody who has had that experience that at some point the congregation you're part of or familiar with has had some sort of a split? Anybody? Is there anybody who's never had that experience? Please put up your hand. Surely one person in this audience has never had that experience. Somebody caused that split. The leader of the band that caused that split, his name was Satan, but there were others who were following him. Don't be a follower. The remainder, though, I want to talk about what Timothy should do. Paul gives Timothy some great advice. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather, in speech, conduct, love, faith, purity, show yourself an example to those who believe. Timothy, go be an example. Go be an imitator of Christ. Go be an imitator of Paul. Do those things, and others will follow you. Show yourself an example, not just to older people. It's in context with looking down on or despising. And it's not just your peers, and it's not just the men, and it's not just the women. You be an example. When you're busy being an example, it's pretty hard for somebody's criticisms to hurt. They will, but they don't hurt nearly as much when you know you're doing the work of the Lord. Get busy. Make sure your speech is right. Well, how do I do that? Well, use the words of God. These are pretty good words. How much scripture have you got in here that you can put out there? Make sure your conduct is correct. That's a pretty hard one, right? I mean, I have my church conduct and I have my non-church conduct. The fact that I'm in the church for, let's say, 2 hours, another hour, about an hour's worth of fellowship, you know, everybody gossiping, and then maybe Wednesday night. Man, I got four or five hours of conduct. It's the conduct that's outside those walls. It's the conduct that's outside the premises of the church, and I don't mean physically, I meant spiritually, that really is the conduct that's going to show people. If these young men, if Elliot or these two young ones here see Grandpa talking one way, if my lips are headed that direction following Christ, but my feet are headed that direction, they know I'm a hypocrite and they will not end up in the church. And nobody else to point to but me. And it would tear my heart out to see that. And it's not just my biological family. I don't want to see anybody not make it to heaven. How about my conduct? How about my love? Do they know I love them? Somebody said, take them fishing. I love to go fishing with my grandsons. We brought some of those smoke poles up here so that we could do a little shooting. We're going to go shooting. I love to go shooting with my grandsons. I love to, used to, love playing basketball with them. Now I throw them the ball because last time I was on a basketball court kind of competing, took a header because my feet didn't keep up with the upper half of my body. I skidded on my face, and that's when I had to grow my goatee, and it hasn't left. I mean, you can't shave when there's skin scraped right off your lip and your chin. It doesn't work, you know. Next time you shave, you scrape it off again. So I gave that up. How about my faith? Do they see my faith? They see it in practice? Timothy, you don't want to get ridiculed? Show your faith to the world. Share it with other people. Purity. What do I desire? Oh, at the church, I'm a good guy, but at home, man, you can get onto that internet and you can get some stuff that's just puke. Who was it said they don't like Facebook? Was that you, Kyle? Yeah, I hate Facebook. I've gotten on Facebook and then they start sending me garbage. And I try to get only to the stuff I want and the garbage appears. So I turned it off. I don't know how I'm going to watch this. It's on Facebook. But what we're supposed to be giving our attention to is the reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. What is it that we're supposed to do? Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Reprove is the guy's going the right direction, kind of bouncing off the curbs, if you will, on the one-way street. Help him to narrow those curbs and get going a little better. Reprove him. Timothy, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Pay attention to reading Scripture. Rebuke, they're going the wrong direction. You got to get them turned around. Better do it fast. Because it's all momentum downhill. And exhort. There's some, they're doing the straight and narrow. They're not headed on the wrong path. Tell them to put their foot on the gas pedal. Those things we can do. Take pain with these things. Be absorbed. Be devoted. Make them all a part of who you are and your character. Pay close attention to yourself, to your teaching, and persevere. Ensure salvation for yourself and those who hear you. It's an important thing that we do. If there's anything that's important in this world, it's helping people spend an eternity in heaven. I want these guys to have a great life and understand fishing and hunting and shooting and sports and math. I know, David, you love math. And Elliot's taking calculus, and he loves it. And he comes home, and he shows me stuff he's learning, and it just right over my head. Elliot, make it more simple. Grandpa, there's this ball. You know, back to fourth grade. So to close, older folks, show love and respect to those who are doing the work. Peer group, let's call it 20 to 40, peer group, okay? The other group is 40 to older. Peer group, show love and respect to those doing the work. And to those like Timothy are doing the work, show yourself an example. To all of us, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. Thank you.